Hi, we're here with Richard Hingley, singer-songwriter, talking about his new album, And Back to Me, which is going to be released in 2005. So can you tell us why you became a musician?
Great question. Why do we become anything? Why did I become a musician? Well, I think I was surrounded by music as a kid. My father was a very prominent musician. And I was surrounded by music, and I think that that really subconsciously led me into it. I don't think I woke up one day and said, I need to be a musician. I just sort of went, you know, followed it naturally. My father was very good. I mean, he never forced music onto me.
What sort of music did he play?
Well, he was really involved in military music, a real change from what I'm doing. You know, I was always surrounded by listening to him composing or going to concerts. But once I started picking up the guitar and started playing, I mean, he was always there for advice and, you know, asked different things. Of course, we all go to obligatory piano lessons. It wasn't for me just learning scales all the time. But again, that has, you know, it's all part of the, you know, the process of becoming, you know, who I am today with the music.
And how did you sort of learn to do everything? You're doing the music, all the instruments and the production.
I don't quite know how I learned it. I mean, I wasn't taught. I mean, it just sort of, I've always been fascinated by learning things. And, you know, within, as in we're doing this video interview here, I mean, I decided, well, I need to learn how to do video editing. I'll better go and do it. And I just go off and do it. And say with music production, you know, music editing and music writing, it's something that on a need to know basis, when I get to the urge I need to go and know about it, I'll just go and learn it. But you're right. I mean, I'm doing on this project. It's really everything from the website, as you know, to the video editing, the music production, engineering, producing. It's really a sole effort. Yeah.
Why are you choosing to sell the album on the web?
It's a really good question. I've thought a lot about that, and it really, for me, it opens up a lot of opportunities as the world is. Now a smaller place. I can be on a level playing field as a major record company. I might not be as well known as a major record company, but the fact that my website is the same click away as a major record company means that I'm on that level playing field. I've got to make sure that the website is attractive for people to go and visit. What the experience they get from it means that they'd want to stay, look throughout the website, and like what they hear. And if they decide to buy something, then that's great.
Do you think that's the future for unsigned bands? Are we going to see more of this?
Yeah, absolutely. There's actually a band that I've really got back in touch with recently myself. I used to listen to years ago is Marillion. And they really at the forefront of doing this. And they, in fact, have had three top 10 singles on download at the moment. But the thing is, they're not actually very well known because they're not getting regular airplay, but their fan base worldwide is huge, and you know that is a good benchmark and a good marker for me to sort of, you know, work towards.
So it's taking the sort of power away from music critics and radio DJs.
It's you know, if you like it, great. If you don't, great. You know, it's the fact is that, you know, the power is in the audience now, rather than being pushed by a record company. If a major record company comes along and wants to give me a lot of money, then of course I'm going to go with it. But, you know, for an unsigned artist, you know, doing everything myself, then the web is a perfect medium for to try and, you know, to get it out there.
What's the best live gig you ever saw?
That's an excellent question. I've seen so many bands live. I mean, that was one of my hobbies as a kid. I used to try and get tickets for everything. There's so many. I think probably on reflection, it has to be Live Aid. And it's quite apt that we're nearly 20 years after Live Aid. In fact, I was given recently the DVD, the box set of Live Aid, which I've watched, and it brought back so many memories. There's so many great bands on there. I mean, Queen were fantastic. I still don't know quite how Adam Ant got on the bill, but he managed to pay someone, I think. Adam, if you're listening, sorry about that. It was a great day. I really felt on that whole day that you were involved with something, you know, history in the making, and it proved it was right.
Albums. What's the best album you think you've ever heard?
Again, tricky one. I've got so many CDs, very varied. I think probably best album or favourite album has to be the one I've listened to the most, and that probably is Dark Side of the Moon by Pink Floyd. It had a tremendous effect on me, you know, as a kid, and really started my journey in music. I was just fascinated listening to Dave Gilmour's guitar solos and wanting to emulate them and try and practice them. And as a guitarist, you know, he's probably someone I really look up to, you know, where he's the master of the understated, where a lot of guitarists would have, you know, more complicated runs or whatever. He would just have a sustained note, which was extremely powerful. It's something that, you know, I've definitely learnt from. And there's a few of those on the album itself, I think.
Do you think that Pink Floyd's influence, you can hear it in some of the modern bands? I'm particularly thinking of someone like Radiohead, who appear to have been influenced by Pink Floyd as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Radiohead are a fantastic band, and they, you know, the influence of Pink Floyd is definitely in there. I don't think actually the Radiohead fans probably realise how much the band sound like Pink Floyd, and especially some of the earlier Floyd albums. And I think I think there's a definite renaissance of that era of music coming back in again. And I think a lot of people are going to start revisiting a lot of the early Genesis and Pink Floyd albums, because they do have a lot of influence on today's music.
Right, your album, you do everything on the album.
I do, yeah. Well, with the help of a computer. I mean, it's not the computer doing it. It's me really putting everything into the computer, with recording, using it as a recording device.
And all the production and all the instruments, you do all that. Where did you learn to do all that?
It's interesting. I think I first started playing the guitar when I was about 10. One day I woke up and there was a guitar there, and I just started playing, you know, and there's... And it went from there. And I, at an early age, I was, my brother used to bring albums back that I used to listen to. And then I used to try and copy the, what was on the record, you know, try and learn it. And it just went from there. And after leaving school, I was a bit at loss to what I wanted to do. And I then decided to get into some music, started working in the studios, actually as a runner, first of all, and then doing some engineering.
And where did that go? What were you doing? And what did you sort of learn from that whole stage?
Well, I really learned all the tools I'm using now. I mean, I initially, as anybody who's been in this recording industry, especially in the studios, knows, is that it's really starting off as a runner. And in downtime, I was fascinated by the equipment. I used to get in there and, try and learn everything. And then one day, the engineer who was supposed to come didn't turn up, and I was the engineer for the day.
What sort of bands were you working with, or what sort of acts?
It varied, because I was house engineer to the studio, so it varied of the people coming in. But I've worked with Tapao, as a name from the 80s, The Mission, Frank Goes to Hollywood, a few others as well, and Dexy's Midnight Runners. So it was a very good learning base, and being in the studio taught me a lot of good working practices. And this really set me up to where I am now, be able to then sort of use the techniques that I learnt beforehand to work on my own music.
We're now in the era where, I mean, you're publishing the music on the web, the computers are doing so much. How many new skills did you need to learn? How different is it from the when you started sometime
ago? It's not overly different. I mean, when you go back to the basics, there's still a microphone and there's a guitar. The technology enables you to make it a lot clearer, and be able to edit it more freely than you used to be able to. With tape, you know, you used to be able to then cut with a razor blade. Now it's a non-linear process, you know, a bit like word processing for music. So it actually gives the artist a lot more freedom than you would have done before, where you were set into recording studio time. Now you can take a lot longer and be more selective. So being on my own and doing this on my own, it gives me a lot more creative choice.
What's involved in the process of putting a track together?
Obviously every track is different, but I generally start with the same sort of idea, whether it starts as a lyrical idea or a musical idea. Once I've got something formulated, I then just put up a single microphone and I just then go and play acoustically with the guitar to put the idea into the computer digitally. And then go and see if it needs editing to get a format of how I think the song should work. And then go and re-record all the elements that I want on it individually. And that's where the computer helps, is the fact is that, you know, you can set up automation for me to go and be able to, because I'm doing everything on my own, is the fact is I can then set up automatic drop-ins and things like that when I'm recording. Once I've put the whole track together, then I then leave it for a few days or maybe a couple of weeks and then come back and revisit it and listen to it afresh. Because when you're doing everything on your own, it's difficult to have that objective opinion. So once I've written the track, put it together, then come back and listen to it and then see if anything that needs to be done before I then go and mix it. And once I've got all the tracks together, I think then I'll put them together in an album format and then listen to the album as a whole. Because I'm going to write a few more tracks than probably will appear on this first album. And to see, you know, what the running order should be. I'm not quite sure on that yet.
Let's for a minute, just go through some of the tracks on the album.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can just sort of tell us what they're about. If we start with Sunrise.
Sunrise, it's a good start. Sunrise is it's an upbeat track that is it's one of those songs, you know, that you want to put on the radio when you're driving. You know, it's the open road driving track, and it's a very positive track. A lot of the tracks on the album were written at quite a difficult time in my life, and you know they're very personal. And this particular track is really about a new beginning, and hopefully people can hear that in the lyrics and really go with it. So I like it. It's a good track.
What's your favourite track on the album, do you think? Have you got one?
Have I got one? It's the one I'm writing at the moment. It's always that case. I mean, the one you're involved with at the time is the one that you're passionate about. I think once the album's finished, I then would be able to step back a bit and sort of take a bit more, or have a chance to see which is a favourite. I mean, I have some ones I like on there at the moment. Tomorrow is a really good track. I mean, as a single, possibly that might be the first single off the album.
What's that about? Tell us about Tomorrow.
there's not a similar trend going on here. It's actually Tomorrow is Dreaming About a Better Tomorrow. It's a very positive track. It's quite poppy. It's quite it's a good track. I like it.
Where did the ideas come from? What's the, in terms of the way in which you approach writing a song? Tell us about that for a bit.
Well, it depends really on the track. I mean, ideas come from different directions. I mean, I remember being on a train recently and I just looking at a red light and that sparked off a lyrical idea and I went with that. Or occasionally I'll be just relaxing, strumming a guitar and a chord sequence will come out, a progression that I then work as a basis. So in all the tracks I've written on the album, there's no definitive process. They're all different. And I think that's come out in the style as well. It's that I'm not a lyricist or I'm not just a musician or a guitarist. I'm a bit of both. So I'm not trying to create music from lyrical ideas. I'm trying to to do them both at the same time.
So one doesn't start, you don't sit down and say, right, no. I'm going to write a lyric and then a song.
No, it depends. You know, for example, there's a track on the album called Hiding Away, and that was a real lyrical idea that came, a long time before the music. Happened with an experience I had over in India. It was just being shocked in when I was in Mumbai by the poverty there, and it was just something that as a lyrical idea I wrote down, more of a poem initially, and I thought maybe one day I'll put that to music, and then eventually something happened on the guitar and I remembered this and then the two went together.
What sort of person do you think is going to buy the album?
Well, everybody, I hope. I don't know, it's the target audience I haven't really thought about. I think, again, once the album is finished, it might be easier to pigeonhole it. I think there's a definite 30-somethings who's going to be more into it than the younger generation, but maybe I'm wrong. I think someone who likes good music, as in singer-songwriter music, maybe like David Gray, Travis-type stuff, and has influence or likes influences of Pink Floyd and early rock bands, then I think they'll enjoy it.
You're going to play a track for us now.
Yeah.
Can you tell us the reason for the choice of track?
Well, with so many tracks on the album, there's going to be 11 or 12, and in fact I've written a few more than that. I wanted to try and do something that was going to be a little bit different, that in the format they wouldn't appear on the album, so people can see maybe how I'm going to be performing things live. The track is called Dream On. It's a classic sort of big rock ballad with a big ending. But I won't be playing it like that, I'll be playing it straight acoustic. It's also going to be with a vocal harmony pedal that I can use. So it's an interesting choice. I think people will like it. Yeah.
Will it give us a flavour of your live act?
Yeah, absolutely. The live work is going to be a bit of a blend, really, between playing some backing tracks, because obviously I'm an individual musician, I haven't got a band yet, something I might work on. And then also just playing straight acoustic. I will do just solely acoustic sets and mix sets. But this track I'll be playing now is, as I say, is slightly different than how it will appear on the album.
Thanks very much, Richard. And we look forward to hearing Dream On, a track from your new album, and Back to Me, going to be released in 2005.
Thank you.
Vision of colours abound, sailing with the wind's cool breeze. I feel with you understanding, my imagination runs wild to the setting sun you left.
Thank you.